A God Who Questions, Chapter 1. What do you seek? Reading from the Gospel of John. The next day, again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." This question is the first thing Jesus says in the Gospel of John. This is the same gospel that begins by introducing the Word, who was with God, who was God. This is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. After that verse, the Word is not mentioned again. This Word made flesh is named Jesus, and he now speaks human words. His words carry the force of the Word of God, and the very first words from his lips in this gospel form not a declaration or a commandment, but a question, asking these two disciples of John the Baptist what they are looking for. This is the question that Jesus asks every would-be disciple, and really, it is a question that never fades away. What do we really want to find? What do our hearts desire? What would we be willing to accept? The humility of the Word of God is on full display here. He is the reason and the order for the whole of creation, yet he deigns to ask those initially drawn to him what they seek. These two disciples of John respond to Jesus' question by divulging how they view Jesus. They call him Rabbi. So what are they looking for from this teacher? Are they seeking instruction, enlightenment, wisdom? In him, they will find all this. But is a teacher all they want? They ask him a question about where he is staying, so they can find him later to obtain what they seek. What brings Jesus' initial question even more clearly into view? What do they seek? Jesus' response to the disciples' question is not a response in kind. They ask for information from this rabbi, but he gives them none. They want an address, but he yields no location. They want to picture where he will be, but he offers no such image. Instead, he says, "Come and see." He will answer their question about where he is staying, but not on their terms. They have to move towards him if they want to really see where he is at home. There is nothing distant or impersonal about that. Regardless of what they think, they want to find what they think they are seeking. The only response he will give is to invite them to draw near. What they'll see is more than they want. Even the question the disciples ask Jesus is about far more than they realize. To see where Jesus is at home, to know where he dwells, that would mean knowing him for who he is. Who is he? John the Evangelist told us in the prologue to his gospel. Where does he come from? He comes from on high. Where does he dwell? He dwells not in one place or another, but in the Father's love, even as he makes his dwelling among us. Is this a riddle? No, it is his identity and his mission. When Pilate later asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gives no answer. To ask where Jesus is from where he is at home, and where he dwells is really to ask who he is. Does Pilate want to know, since that would mean accepting Jesus for who he is? What kind of person would be prepared to receive that answer? It all depends on what you seek and what you are willing to find. The answer to the home and identity of Jesus is not something you can grasp intelligently, objectively, or from a safe distance. You cannot know him unless you follow him and draw near to him. You cannot imagine him without knowing him. He asked these two disciples what they were seeking because, in the end, he means to teach these men to seek him. The first disciples of Jesus come in waves from these first two, Andrew, and probably John the Evangelist. Simon is beckoned. Then Jesus calls Philip, and Philip summons Nathanael, Bartholomew. Those whom Jesus tells to come near, Andrew, John, Philip, do not merely tell others about what happened to them. Rather, they invite those others, Simon, Nathanael, to draw near as they have. When Nathanael questions Philip about this man who comes from Nazareth, Philip does not answer the question in terms of that backwater place. Instead, Philip tells Nathanael what Philip himself has begun to understand from following Jesus. You have to come and see. There is no standalone message or lesson to learn. There is only him. The disciples learn to follow and trust him. What exactly do those who come and see begin to see? And what happens to them when they see? That, of course, is the drama of the gospel, all the way through its last page and beyond. But there are already promissory notes here at the start, beginning with the first sign Jesus performs at the wedding at Cana. Along with Mary, Jesus' disciples are there with him. They have come, and now they will see. What they see is a work that begins to reveal Jesus' identity through his actions. In this work, this sign, they glimpse his glory, and his disciples believe in him. They believed in him. This also begins with Jesus catching the attention of those first two disciples and then asking them the question that never really goes away. What do you seek? If even the whiff of curiosity has turned your or my eye to this person of Jesus, we might imagine him confronting us with the same question. That question remains even if you and I passionately and zealously chase after him, even if we rest with him. What we seek matters. Do we remain willing to seek him? My Lord and my God, if what I desire is not your will for me, then change my heart.